The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Peter Harris, Executive Chairman of Northbridge Industrial Services, NBI. Ticker there. Peter, thanks for joining me.
Justin, thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, it's nice to have you on. So I've several chats with Paul Hill, and Paul's a big fan of yours, and he talked about you quite a bit. So it's nice to finally get you on and talk to you, because as an investor, I love small micro caps, and you're in that space. And it seems like from this pre-close trading update you've announced, you are growing as well, which is very nice. So before we get into the detail of the trading update, Peter, can you just give us a brief summary for people not familiar what Northbridge is all about, please?
Yeah, sure. We have two divisions in Northbridge, and I'll start with the smaller one, which is Tasman, and that is a business that rents drilling tools for the geothermal gas and oil drilling markets around the world. And our larger division is Crestchick, which is based in the UK, where we have our factory, and we manufacture products called load banks and transformers, which are large pieces of industrial electrical engineering kit that are used for testing big auxiliary power sources, generators, turbines, etc., in a wide variety of applications around the world, and particularly well positioned in growth markets, in data centers, in grid resilience, in renewables.
Excellent stuff. Good stuff. Okay, well, let's start off with this pre-close trading update, and we'll touch on the strategic update as well. So let's go first top line. Let's look at financial operations and the balance sheet and all that stuff, if you could. Give us a summary of that, if you could, Peter.
Yeah, well, the first half's been very good for us. I mean, obviously, like most of the rest of the world, 2020 was a challenging year because of the pandemic. And though, you know, we're not out of the pandemic in 2021, we're certainly on the journey out from it. And what we've seen in 2021, particularly in our Crestchick side, and particularly in hire, which was the rental side was more affected than the sales of equipment, we've seen a return already to pre-pandemic levels of activity and strong underlying growth, which gives us real confidence in the future. So in the first half year, our revenue was up over 20% year on year compared to last year. You will have to have a cautionary note because last year was affected by the pandemic, but we're very much back to pre-pandemic levels and on an upward curve now. Yeah. In terms of where our profits are going to be for the year, I think the market consensus is for something around about 2.2 million pre-tax profit this year. And we are signaling quite strongly that we're trading ahead of expectations. So obviously, we're expecting to do better than that, which is good news. And the other feature of the first half is that we've been continue to be very strongly cash generative, and our net debt has shrunk to the extent where we're now really quite lightly geared. We've got a very robust balance sheet, and during the course of the first half year, we've done some re-engineering on the financial structure. We've brought in new bankers who have given us a very flexible and much lower cost financial facility, which will really underpin our growth aspirations for the next few years. And we had a convertible loan note structure that we put in place a few years ago, which was quite expensive. It did a good job for us at the time. But with the new facilities, we've been able to redeem that. And we're looking set fair in terms of our financial capacity.
Excellent stuff. Okay, well, let's go into two different sides of the business there. Crestchick first, of course, reminder for people, this is you design, manufacture and hire load banks to test generators and critical power supplies. Take us through what's happening here, if you could, Peter.
Yeah, well, it's a good story. The only problem we have at Crestchick at the moment is that we're absolutely out of production capacity because we're so busy. But we're busy working on that. We've got planning permission in place, and we're just about to break ground on a significant expansion of the factory, which will increase our capacity by 50%. And that should come through end of quarter one or in quarter two next year. So that's good news. The order intake, we entered the year with equipment sales order intake at a record high, and it's remained strong through the year. Rental started off strongly in the Far East, but quite quiet in other areas around the world. But as the year has gone on, those other areas have picked up. So So Middle East, USA, Europe now all performing really, really well, which is good to see.
Yeah, yeah.
We've had our pandemic challenges to continue to respond to. I think many businesses are seeing issues on supply chain, both in terms of cost increases and in terms of disruption. In terms of cost increases, we're pretty pragmatic about how we handle cost increases. We really like to look after our customers. We don't like our prices shooting up and down. So if we get short-term cost increases or short-term cost reductions, we try to absorb those. But we have been able to pass on any structural cost increases that have come through. And though we've had little bits of disruption on the supply chain, you know, critical components not arriving from overseas suppliers, again, we've got a degree of flexibility about our manufacturing practices in the factory, and we've absorbed those pretty well as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvellous stuff. Okay, and Tasman, and of course, this is where you rent out equipment to geothermal and coal, bed methane, coal seam gas around the world here since 1980. So take us through what's happening here as well, Peter, if you could.
Well, Tasman's an interesting business, and it's no secret that we're considering divesting Tasman, and we're actually running a process to look and see whether there are sensible purchasers for this business. Not because it's a bad business. It's actually a good business, though it's had its difficult times after the oil price crash a few years back. But we have so many opportunities in Crestchik that we really want to focus all our management attention and all our financial capacity on growing the Crestchik business. So if we can find a suitable buyer for Tasman, we will divest it. And we expect to make a decision on that towards the end of this quarter. And if we don't decide to divest it, we know what we need to do to re-engineer some of the structure to move it back into profit, because at the moment it's just still slightly negative, though it's cash generative.
Yeah.
In terms of its performance in the first half, it was quiet. We actually had a good first half pre-pandemic last year. Then it fell off sharply in the second half, mainly because it was extremely difficult to get our equipment and people out to sites because of pandemic travel restrictions. It's very slowly picking up again. So the business is performing well in the circumstances. And it made a small loss in the first half year, probably something similar in the second half. I have to say the management team are dealing very well with the difficult market.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, that sort of fits now into the strategic update you're talking about. And, of course, you're thinking of divesting Tasman there. What else is happening there in the strategic update?
Well, the other big things, I've talked about the factory already and I've talked about the financial structure already. The other thing that's really important to us is to make sure we invest into our growth market sectors and growth market geographies. And the market sectors that are doing very well for us and are really set to do well for the foreseeable future. Firstly, data centers. Obviously, we're speaking virtually as we are now, and we're practically all of us are working from home, if not 100%, certainly significantly, and much more than we used to. The demand for data around the world has been rising for years and has taken a step change up further with the pandemic. Our product is used in two main ways to support the data center industry. Firstly, in commissioning it by emulating the heat load of a data center when it's up and running. And then secondly, to provide resilience to the backup power supplies that keep it running. Because obviously, data centers that crash cause major disruption. So we're ideally positioned to service the market, and it's a fantastic growth market for us. Over and above just generic growth in the market sector we've always been in, which is the backup power supply and medium-sized load banks for testing, we're now rolling out products to get into the more specialized testing areas called emulators, where you actually rack up small load banks that are exactly the size and heat pattern of a server that will be in the live data center. You can do very precise testing with those. So we're investing in our fleets quite heavily for the higher side. And we're having real success on the sales side for people who want to have permanent equipment rather than rented equipment. And I can't name any names, but a very well-known household name e-commerce retailer has just placed its first significant order with us, and we're really proud of that and looking good.
Yeah, I was just reading about that. Quite exciting, that. So, yeah, always a bit tempted to say, who is it? But I suppose we can guess.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's good then. It shows you the direction of travel, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's good news for us. And then the other area that's been very strong for us is what we call grid resilience. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the electrical power infrastructure of any country is important. We're a very international business, so we support some quite difficult grids in some of the more remote areas of the world. But even in the developed countries, electricity grids are coming under new challenges with renewable energy increasing. And we're particularly seeing that in the UK because we're doing such a good job of rolling out renewable power sources. And renewables have a much less consistent and predictable pattern of input into the grid. And they require quite different technology to absorb the power into the grid. And that's creating opportunities for us as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds all good. So let's have, if you could, Peter, I mean, every day in the podcast, I highlight the top five most followed companies. Of course, people have to hit that follow button and add you to their watch list to get on that list. So please, if you could, three reasons in summary why someone should hit that follow button on your page and add Northbridge Industrial Services to their watch list, please.
All right, top three reasons. Well, I think the number one is just reiterating that point I've made. We're actually selling and renting in our Crestchuk division into market sectors that are going to give significant levels of growth for the foreseeable future in data centers, grid resilience, and renewables. Mm-hmm. I think the second one is the fact that Crestchuk is in its market the international brand leader, and it's very, very well recognized around the world. And we have international presence in all the major market sectors. So we are able to get to our customers and provide a range of equipment that few other people can match, if any. Mm-hmm. The third is the nature of our business is that we are highly cash generative, and that enables us to provide from our own cash flow the funds that we require for investing in what we see as a very, very positive future. And well, I'm an investor myself. I've been with the company since it listed. Still hold a relatively significant shareholding, so very aligned to the interest of our shareholders.
Excellent stuff. Always good to hear that. I mean, when I'm investing in a company, I you know, always look at the shareholder register and see what the management hold and the board and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's very good to hear. Peter, it's good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.